Today, I would like to spend a few moments speaking on the subject, He is Qualified. And I think I see Varick in the audience. Believe it or not, there was a time I was taller than Varick. But that time has passed a long time ago. And it's good to see you here. I'm glad that you can come and spend some time with your family. It's good to see everybody. And I want to thank Elder Young for the work she does every week in ensuring the program goes as smoothly as we can. We want to remember Kwon, our praise team member who is still recuperating. And so most of the work has been left to her twin sister, Keisha. And I've been promising Keisha, if she feels a need to call upon me anytime, I'll be just as willing to give of my expertise, my talent. He is qualified. There is something about us Seventh-day Adventists that if you ask us whether or not we are saved, you rarely get an answer yes. If you get a yes, it will be qualified. We are going to explain what we mean by that yes. We can never say with any kind of assurance, yes, we are saved. And the reason is not because we are trying to be humble. It is because we have to recognize the religion or the church, the organization to which we belong. If you've been raised a Seventh-day Adventist, we have a lot of emphasis on obedience. And even in the lesson today, we talked about obedience, a Sabbath school lesson. I thank Sister Shaw for the great job she did in the lesson today. And sometimes, as you would see with our text today and the word today, that we lose sight of what our salvation or on whom our salvation is based. So as we come to discuss this subject, He is Qualified, I want to begin with the Apostle Paul. And Paul tells us in Romans 7, "For I know that good itself does not dwell in me." That is, in my sinful nature. "For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me." Father in heaven, please come now and speak to your children. Amen. Paul here describes what I call a quandary, a dilemma. Simply put, we are not sinners because we sin, but rather we sin because we are sinners. Paul's statement about his condition was not in his pre-Damascus encounter with Jesus. When the question was asked, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Paul's declaration about his dilemma was written, get this, well after he was converted. When he talked about wanting to do good, but doing wrong, this is not before he met Christ on the road to Damascus. And if we be honest with God today, we will recognize that Paul's writing talks about us in that after we've come to know God, we still struggle. I struggle. And I know I'm not alone. And Paul, to this question of dilemma, this quandary, Paul's declaration is, look, I have a problem. And in response to his cry of anguish and despair, he asks the question, who will rescue me from this body of death? Who will rescue me from this quandary? And his question moves us to a quest, or the quest in search for an answer. Now let me erase that. Paul's quandary leads to a question, which leads to a quest in search for the answer, not an answer. Because when it comes to salvation, it is not just an answer, it is the only answer. The sin problem, Paul says, is the sin in me. But the sin problem does not come with several answers as it relates to salvation. There is only one answer. You remember a guy by the name of Nicodemus? Nicodemus was a good guy. He was not a bad guy. And when he sought Jesus, he came to Jesus because something in Nicodemus said to him, Nicodemus, you're lost. You're outside of salvation. And Nicodemus was thinking, hey, I'm a good guy. But as Nicodemus had the thought of himself, the prophet Isaiah reminded him, Nicodemus, all your righteousness are as filthy rags in the sight of God. So therefore, even as good as you are, you must be born again. A couple years ago, one of my former members, well, a few years ago, it was about 7 years ago, became sick or ill. Straight lady, doing well, in church every Sabbath, sang, returned to tithe faithfully, everything, and she became sick. She encountered dementia. And her daughters had to put her in an institution because they could no longer care for her at home. And what was amazing, this God-fearing woman who lived a good life, who lived a clean life, who lived an upright life, would in the middle of the night get up crying anxiously because she thought she was lost. And her daughter said to me, I don't get it. My mother lived a pure life. And then it dawned on both of us that her mother was raised in a church that emphasized works. So even though she was right with God, her thinking of being saved was on account of the things she did. Paul, in his question, asked, what a wretched man I am. And he asked the question, who will deliver me from this subject or this body of death? Who will deliver me? This is Paul asking the question. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? And then Paul declares, thanks, read what it says with me. Thanks be to what? God who what? delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul asked the question, and then he gave the answer. He said, it is Jesus who delivers me. Jesus who delivers me. Now, Paul was able to make that statement because this Paul, some folk like to say the writer of the Hebrews, because it does not say Paul, but most scholars believe it is Paul who wrote Hebrews. And so in Hebrews 4:15, he says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now this is where we get into problem. Because when we hear yet without sin, we begin to ascribe that to us. The theologians will tell you that the text, the entire verse, is making reference to Jesus Christ. In other words, it's a declaration that Jesus is qualified to be our Savior. He, Jesus, is without sin. He went through a lot without sin. We emphasize as if it's us. None of us is sinless. Jesus is the only sinless person. If you go from Genesis to Revelation, or you go to Hebrews chapter 11, we call it the Hall of Faith, where we have God's champions being declared righteous on account of their faith, not on their works. Abraham, the father of the faithful. Jacob is mentioned there, and so is Rahab. They're not mentioned because of their works. They are mentioned because of their faith on he alone who is righteous. Jesus is the high priest. You may recall that Jesus went on what we know now today as the Mount of Transfiguration. You remember that incident? When he went into the mountain, who did he take with him? Peter, James, and John. And then the Martin, while they were there, two others joined them. Do you know who they were? Moses and Elijah. Well, I'm going to drop a bombshell on you today, because I'm pretty sure you probably just think they were there to encourage him. That's what we are told. Moses and Elijah. When we think of Jesus being qualified, we have two views in the world of biblical studies: post-lapsarian and pre-lapsarian. These two views simply say, as they're trying to talk about the qualification of Jesus, they're describing that Jesus come after the fall of Adam or before the fall of Adam. Are we talking about the nature of Jesus in the context of pre-Adam or after Adam? And here we are counseled by the Spirit of Prophecy. Review and Herald, February 24, 1874. Through his humiliation and poverty, Christ would identify himself with the weaknesses of the fallen race, and by firm obedience show man how to redeem against Adam's disgraceful failure, that man by humble obedience might regain lost Eden. The great work of redemption, I want you to read this with me. The great work of what? Redemption, what? Could be what? Carried out, what? Only by the Redeemer taking the place of fallen Adam. Only by Jesus Christ himself. Only by Christ. He is qualified. It is not what you do. It is not what I do that make us qualify for salvation, it is on account of Jesus himself. I went back last week and listened to Pastor Carmona's sermon on grace. It's one of the best messages I have ever heard on grace. He broke that thing really down well, because what's in us is this natural proclivity to tell God, God, you got to take me in because of all these wonderful good things I have done. And when we get right down to it, it is only the righteousness of Jesus, Jesus alone, that makes salvation necessary for us. Now let's get back to that Mount of Transfiguration. Here's a dilemma, a quandary. Man is sinful. Man is lost. Man is hopeless. Man is helpless. And Paul asks the question, who? And then in his quest for the answer, he came upon Hebrews 4:15. Jesus, all the things he came with, yet without sin. Now here is Ellen G. White writing in Desire of Ages, page 421. Now I want to make a statement to my friends who are listening online. Sometimes we present Ellen G. White as the only person who God has inspired after the biblical writers. That's not the truth. God has inspired others. We believe after we've examined her writings that truly God inspired her to give a word to us. And she is the lesser light that leads to the greater light. Sometimes we bring Ellen White and put her above the Bible. That's not the case. And here she is writing about that experience on the Mount of Transfiguration. Moses, upon the Mount of Transfiguration, was a witness to Christ's victory over sin and death. He represented those who shall come forth from the grave at the resurrection of the just. Elijah, who had been translated to heaven without seeing death, represented those who will be living upon the earth at Christ's second coming. So far, so good. These men, chosen above every what? Angel around the throne. Stop and think about it. There are some things that angels cannot do because they have never been redeemed. Angels could not sing the song of Moses and the Lamb. We will sing that song. Chosen above every angel around the throne had come to commune with Jesus concerning the scenes of his suffering. They're telling Jesus, hey, this is going to happen, and you got to go through it. Man, you can't fail. You got to go through it. You cannot fail. Now, here is the bombshell. Read with me what it says. And to do what? Comfort him with what? The assurance of the sympathy of heaven, the hope of the world, the salvation of every what? Human being was the what? Burden of their interview. Did you get it? Did you get it? Well, let me break it down for you. Moses, was he a human being? Was Elijah a human being? When they came to Jesus, where were they? Where were they living? In heaven. One had died and was resurrected. The other never saw death. Stop and think about it. Go back and read the last part. The hope of the world, the salvation of every human being, was the what? Burden of what? Their interview. We came because Jesus, if you don't make it, we got to come out of heaven. They could not be in heaven without Jesus, if Jesus had failed at the cross, Moses and Elijah would have had to leave their home. Ellen White says, the hope of the world. They came to comfort him with the assurance of the sympathy of heaven. The hope of the world, the salvation of every human being, was the burden of their interview. Burden of their interview. They came because they're saying, we got to come and help this guy to get through it because we don't want to leave heaven. Every person, whether it be Moses, Elijah, or Enoch, every person who would be saved would be on account of Jesus. He alone is qualified. So as we approach the table today, what is your quandary? What is your question? In whom do you have a quest? It must be because he is qualified. So we don't come bringing or parading, Lord, we did this or we did that. We come just like Moses and Elijah, recognizing that the salvation of every human being is based on Jesus Christ. He is qualified. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Come up, Sister Debbie. So God today wants us to come to the table, to partake and to participate, recognizing that, yes, there was a quandary. Man's dilemma. Man is lost. Oh, wretched man, who may deliver me from this body of death, was the question. Let me go in search, in quest for the answer. And the answer is, he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He alone is qualified. Let us approach God with confidence, because it's by his sacrifice we have the opportunity for salvation, just like Moses and like Elijah.